evening. I hope you all are well. Please join me in the Anna Bakoa. Anna Bakoa. Gedula Chemincha. The six letters compose a word that has a gematria, a name of God that has a gematria of 506, which is the same gematria as the phrase Ahavat Sinam, Ahavat Hinam, which means unconditional love, love for no reason. Our temple was destroyed through our actions having to do with hinat sinam, hatred for no reason. And now we have the opportunity to correct it by removing hatred from within our hearts. This sequence will help us achieve that, as well as the sequence of the 72 names with the same gematria, Vav Shin Resh. Kabel Rinat Amcha Sagvenu Taharenu Nora Kufre Shayan Sintet Nun. Two words in Hebrew, Kra Satan. These two words translate as tear up the satans, tear up the negativity, eliminate the negativity from within you. And those same six letters can be rearranged to spell two words in Hebrew, Sha'ar Katan, small gates, which remind us to close the small openings that we do within our actions and our words and our consciousness that lets in the satan, that lets in the negativity. And we can use these sequences to close those gates and eliminate those small entries. Na Gibor Dorshe Yehudcha Kivavat Shamrem Nun Gimel Dalet Yud Kaf Shin. Two three-letter Hebrew sequences. Nun Gimel Dalet has a gematria of 57, which is the Hebrew word zan, which means sustenance. Sustenance is not just money, sustenance is time. Sustenance is anything that we need in our life, and we need to understand, we need to learn the difference between needs and wants. The sequence will help us connect to that and draw that sustenance into our life. Yud Kaf Shin is a word or a sequence, a name of God, that allows us to take back the energy that we have given to the other side, to the negative side, through our negative actions. Barchem tacharem rachamei sidkatcha tamid gamlem betet resh tzadi tach gimel. The middle two letters of that sequence, Resh and Tzadi, have a gematria of 290. 290 is the gematria of our mother, Miriam. Not necessarily our mother, but certainly Moshe's sister. Certainly a prophetess. Certainly one of the icons that we can utilize to connect with the energy of Chesed, to bring soulmates together, to strengthen the relationship that we might be having right now with the person we're married to or the person who's in our life. It will also help us connect to the well of Miriam. That aspect that followed the Jews in the desert through the merit of Miriam, the sister of Moshe. The two letters of the month, the Kaf, which created the sun, and the Tet, which created the month of Av, and the constellation Leo. The gematria of those two letters is 29. 29 times 10 is the resh and the tzadi, the 290. Understand the connection in order to manifest all of your dreams. Hasin kadosh Birov Tuvcha Na'el Adatach Het Kufet Tet Nunayan. Yachid Ge'e Lamcha Pene Zokre Kedushatach. Yud Gimel Lamed, Hey Zayin Kuf, a sequence of six letters, sequence of six letters that creates a name of God. It creates a name that helps us speed the spreading of the wisdom of Kabbalah through our generation during the sixth millennium that we are in now. Shavatenu Kabel Ushma tziyakatenu yodea talumot shin kufav tzadi yutaf. The seventh verse, these six letters, create a word that helps us manifest all of our dreams and desires and needs and wants. Manifest through all of the other verses, all of the other parts of the Anabakoah, the 42-letter name, and manifest them directly into our physical world, into our life. Visualize what it is you want, down to its smallest detail, and use this sequence to manifest it in your life. And the last line we say in a whisper, which we refer to as silently. And I will say it out loud for the purposes of teaching. Baruch Shem Kivod Malchuto Leolam Voed. We have brought the energy of creation into this class by saying the Anabakoach. We will now read a verse from the Zohar to bring the light of the Zohar into this class. Vayehi Noam Adonai Eloheinu aleinu mas, masei yadeinu kunenei aleinu mas, sei yadeinu kunenehu. Vayehi Noam Adonai Eloheinu aleinu masei yadeinu kunenei aleinu mas, sei yadeinu kunenehu. Vayomer Elokim yikavu chamayim v'gomer. Veorach kav lemecheve veorach meshar deham meraza dehahi bekuda kadmaa nafak kola istimu ad demate veitkanish lehekala ilaa umitaman nafek bekav meshar lishar dargin ad demate Lehahu atar had dekanesh, kola biglal dekar benukva, umani hu he almin. And Elohim said, Let the waters be gathered. Bereshit chapter 1. The words be gathered, the Hebrew is yikavu, mean that the Mohim called the waters will travel in a straight line, the Hebrew is kav, on one level, without spreading to the right or left. Everything flows mysteriously from the secret of that primal point, which is Arikan Pin, which means large face, until the light reaches and is gathered in the supernal chamber. From there it then flows in a straight line to the other grades, namely to Zeron Pin, until it reaches that one place where everything is gathered according to the secret of male and female. Zeron Pin means small face. He asked, And what is that place? He replied, This is the life of the worlds, namely Yesod of Zeron Pin, which is the male who is united with Malchut, which is the female principle. Thus it comprises male and female together. The verse appears to be esoteric, but it's actually describing and helping us understand how this verse from the Bible in chapter 1, Let the waters be gathered, is describing the Sephirah of Yesod, which is a channel. Yesod takes all of the energy of all of the upper Sephirot, the other five Sephirot that form Zeron Pin. There are six. Hesed, Gevurah, Tiferet, Netzach, Hod, Yesod. All of the five Hesed, Gevurah, Tiferet, Netzach, and Hod flow into Yesod. And from Yesod, they flow into Malchut, because Yesod and Malchut are representing the Zivug, the Hebrew word is Zivug, which the simple translation is the union of male and female, the union of the spiritual and the physical. All of these upper worlds, which are really the lower Sephirot, but they flow into Yesod and from Yesod into our physical world called Malchut. And Yesod also channels our prayers, our desires, our communications to the upper worlds. Yesod is also the channel in that direction as well. Tonight, this is the second class in the advanced series that started last week with the discussion of tshuva. Before I get started on continuing that discussion, does anybody have any questions? To unmute your phone, press *6 and you should be able to be heard and ask any question you might desire. Okay. In discussing tshuva, I refer you to the recordings of the class on tshuva in the basic class. But the essence of tshuva is returning the hay, the lower hay, the hay that represents our physical world, and reconnect it to the spiritual worlds, the yud, the k, and the vav. We disconnect it, metaphorically speaking, when we do a negative action. That's the idea that we want to change. We want to reconnect that physical world to the spiritual and allow the flow of Hashem, the goodness of Hashem, to continue into our life rather than be blocked and stopped from our own actions. And the way we do that is called tshuva, return the hay. Tashuv, hay. The way we do that, I'm going to describe things in a separated way, but they're not separated. We can do two types of negative actions. We can do a negative action against Hashem, and we can do a negative action against people or other aspects, maybe the earth, maybe animals. In essence, those two descriptions of negative actions are the same because everything is connected and unified in Hashem. But our sages teach us that in order to return the hay of an action we have done with people and the earth and entities of consciousness, we have to, one, recognize that we did a wrong action, and two, ask them to forgive us for that wrong action. And until they forgive us, Hashem cannot allow tshuva to complete. Because the consciousness of the other person is impacting, in our frame of reference, and that's what needs to be cleansed. And that's what the asking for forgiveness and receiving the forgiveness is about. So the question is always asked, what if the person doesn't forgive me? The answer that people do not like to hear is if you are coming from true repentance, from true feeling bad about the action, from truly knowing that you did wrong, that you hurt the person, and you want to correct it. If you are coming from the frame that your heart is speaking this truth, the other person's heart, the other person's response, the other person's sensitivity to you will cause them to forgive you. On a logical level, the other person will come to understand that not forgiving you creates a blockage in their life. And the sages teach that by asking someone for forgiveness three times is sufficient to eliminate their consciousness of not forgiving you from your frame of reference. It's as if you were forgiven irrespective of what they're saying. But that's a little bit hard to understand, and I don't want to go into it tonight because it will complicate life. The approach is, if I've hurt another person or another animal, or the earth, or anything that has consciousness, and I realize that I've hurt that, realize that that action was wrong, I start the process of tshuva by confessing that sin. Sorry for using the term sin, because in Hebrew there are five different words that translate as sin. So we're going to just use the idea of a wrong action, a mistake, when I recognize that I've done a mistake, I start to ask the person for forgiveness. I confess the mistake to the person. If the mistake it has to do with between me and God, I confess to God, and we discussed that last week when we talked about the doing. The confession, which is said twice a day, if you pray three times a day, it's said in the Mincha prayer, if you're saying that with a minyan. And it's also said individually prior to and as part of the structure of the nighttime bedtime Shema. If you'll remind, I'm going to remind you what we spoke about last week is that the Vidui, the confession, uses the order of the Aleph Bet, and it uses the communal. We have sinned. We have made mistakes. We have done actions. And within each of those words in Hebrew, we have to consciously direct to the specific actions and the specific people that we have been involved with and created these mistakes about. And once we have identified within our own minds, done our own cheshbon ha-nefesh, evaluated our day, and realized that we have caused harm to someone, something, some animal, some consciousness, then we can verbally confess within the frame of the Dewey prayer those actions. And we can go to that person or that consciousness and ask for the forgiveness. Throughout the centuries, the rabbis, the sages, have exhorted us, the prophets have exhorted us, please do tshuva. And there are very extensive books on what is tshuva, which very few people read anymore. And that's the reason that I'm going into this in this detail. The Jewish nation must do tshuva to bring the Messiah in a peaceful manner. Must is a strong word. For centuries, lifetimes, we have been told, do tshuva. Say the Vidui and do tshuva. We are in the third of week of the 7 weeks of comfort, the 7 weeks that lead up to Rosh Hashanah. We're in the third week. We're in the week of vision, Re'eh, the put name of the parasha for this week. What is doing tshuva? It starts with cheshbon ha-nefesh, which it's beneficial to do every day. But most of us don't. So let's stop and review the year. What did we do last Tishrei? Who did we hurt? Who did we treat badly in Heshvan? Who did we forget to speak to and tell about our miracles in Kislev? Who did we not treat properly in Tevet when we were dealing with the middle of the winter and the cold and the snow and the rain, and being aware only of ourselves. How did we handle Shvat as the spring was starting to blossom? We didn't see it, of course, but the spring of new relationships came into being. What did we do in Adar when we tried to be joyful in the holiday of Purim? What did we do with Nisan? How did we handle that energy of freedom? Did we try and free others? Or were we just dealing with ourselves? And each and every month has a different energy. And we can use the knowledge of those energies for those months to remember what we did wrong and start the process of tshuva. We can use the terms in the Vidui to help us understand what we did wrong. And now, we have identified something we've done wrong. We can go to that person and ask forgiveness. And as my teacher says, he says, to the person who stepped on his toe, no, I don't forgive you. I needed to experience the pain of my toe hurting. But why did you have to be the channel for that pain? No, I won't forgive you because you were not paying attention. Yes, I needed to experience the pain. But how can I say I forgive you to you being a channel of God for me? And as is discussed in the portion of Re'eh, ultimately that kind of discussion leads to the concept of the city of refuge. There were six cities of refuge during the temple times. We know where they were and which cities they are. And just for the record, those cities have the greatest amount of upsets in modern-day Israel. Hebron is one of those cities. We know it as Shechem, one of the cities of refuge. The other concept of the city of refuge is by experiencing discomfort, we cleanse the wrong action, the mistaken item. I'm sorry for stepping on someone's toe. They won't forgive me. So I don't immediately say, oh, please forgive me. I step back and evaluate, what is the lesson here? Why wouldn't they forgive me? What did I forget to learn? What else do I need to do? Where can I take this to truly understand life's messages? And then I can go back to them and ask a second time. And if their answer is still, no, I don't forgive you, I immediately go back and review all of the other issues. Because there's a message here. I haven't learned it. I'm not speaking from my heart to this person. Or they would respond by saying, I forgive you. The fact that they don't means that I haven't changed sufficiently. They are being my mirror. And when I am sure that I am able to ask them for forgiveness from my heart, from the deepest levels of my soul, then I can go that third time and ask for forgiveness. We've identified an item, something we've made a mistake. We've asked for forgiveness and been granted the forgiveness. Now, what is tshuva? Now we have brought the actions that are wrong against man and the actions that are wrong against God to the similar level. Where do I take it from this point? In the basic class, we described a process of meditation, a process of visualizing, mentally taking myself back to that moment in time when the action was done incorrectly. Taking that consciousness back, feeling, smelling, tasting what was happening in my body and outside of my body at that moment, and changing the decision that I made, changing the action that I made, so that when I return to the present moment, return the hay, tshuva, when I return to the present moment, God is testifying, God is my witness who says, this person is not the same person that did that action. And this person is so offended by that action, so horrified by that action, that they in truth could never do it again. When that is done at the deepest levels, as it's just described, you return to the future, to the now, with the world that you create changed. That boomerang is circling in the cosmos looking for you, but it cannot find you. That negative effect that's supposed to come into your life cannot find you. And therefore, there is no need for the chaos. That's the idea of tshuva, of returning the hay. The idea of being, doing, acting on the level of back to the future. Go back to the past and change it. That's the nature of tshuva. This is the process that we can be doing between now and Rosh Hashanah. Because Rosh Hashanah is the ultimate day of judgment. God is evaluating who he's going to invest in within with for next year. How much energy do you want for next year? Do you want money, wealth, happiness, joy, health, or do you want everything? This is the process of Rosh Hashanah. And before God decides how much energy you will receive for the next year, there is a prosecution. The negative side comes before the court. God is the court. Satan is the prosecutor. The negative side comes before the court and prosecutes. God, how can you give them health? How can you give them wealth? How can you give them children? How can you give them joy and happiness? Look what they did this year with what you gave them last year. This is not a good investment, God. Don't abuse your energy. Don't waste your energy. You cannot give them what you are saying you want to give them. And God is sitting on his throne of judgment, not mercy. He is evaluating the truth of these statements. And what is the evidence against you? The evidence against you are your own words brought to the court by the Satan. The evidence against you is the testimony of the walls of your house. The sun, the moon, the sky, of every action that you did that the Satan says is negative. You cannot avoid it. This is truth, not games, not plays, not playing. You come before the court. God is going to give you everything because that's his nature. Judgment is to give you everything. Not just everything that you can conceive of, but everything. And the Satan is saying, how can you give them everything? Look how they abused it last year. Don't give them everything. They haven't earned it. And the judgment is based on the truth. It's based on the system that God creates. It's based on what is appropriate. If one does tshuva, those negative items that Satan presents to the court do not apply to you. He stands in front of the court and he says, Hanoch did X, Y, and Z. And God says, the Hanoch who did X, Y, and Z is not the Hanoch we're talking about. Excuse me. It's not the Hanoch we're talking about. Hanoch did tshuva. He is not the same Hanoch. God testifies. He gets up from his chair of judgment and he says, this person could not do that action. It's not the same person. No deduction of energy for these actions. But now comes the Satan and presents something that you didn't do tshuva about. God wants to give you everything, but in his evaluation, he must lessen that everything to something less. And that's the metaphors that are spoken about of writing in the book of life and the book of death and the book in between. Rosh Hashanah is the day of judgment, where God decides what energy you receive for the next year. The more tshuva you do, the more energy you get to keep. One of the tools that we utilize during the month of Elul, the month where Ani L'Dodi, the Dodi Li, Elul. I am to my beloved as my beloved is to me. A metaphor. A language of branches that's describing God lowering himself, bringing his energy closer to the physical world so that it is easier to do tshuva. It's easier. All of these people that you haven't spoken to in 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, all of these people that you've forgotten about that have been in your life before, they will find their way to communicate to you during the month of Elul. That's the cosmos supporting your opportunity to do tshuva. Utilize it. Think about what it is you did with that person. When you realize the mistake you made, ask them for forgiveness. Bring it to this level of tshuva. Bring it to back to the future. Bring it to the point where you are not the person who needs to lose energy because of the negative action, because you didn't do it. And as a nation, we need to do tshuva. What is that nation? What is that action we need to do tshuva about? The sages describe it in the Talmud. It's very simple. Each generation that does not build the temple is the generation that destroys it. Why was the temple destroyed? Hatred for no reason. What is hatred for no reason? Somebody hurts me, I could understand why I hate him, God forbid. Someone steals from me, I can understand that I want revenge. This is not hatred for no reason. Hatred for no reason manifests as jealousy. I want what he wants. I want what he has. Because I desire what he has, I draw his energy. I hurt his ability to hold his energy. I cause him to lose what he has. That's hatred for no reason. The nation needs to do tshuva for hatred for no reason. The nation needs to be asking, let me make sure that everybody who doesn't have has. Let me make sure that everyone I have hurt by my consciousness, I am correcting. By doing it on an individual level, I'm doing it on the global level. I'm doing it on the level of the nation. But I also need to do it specifically on the level of the nation. Hatred for no reason is a sin, a mistake, an action that we all have done. Even if we didn't manifest the action, we've thought about it. That's what needs to be cleansed. And during the month of Elul, we cleanse it with something called Slichot. Slichot is a series of prayers series of utilizing the 13 attributes of mercy, a series of utilizing the shofar. Remember the shofar we blow on Rosh Hashanah? Both the Ashkenazim and the Sephardim blow the shofar from the second day of Elul until Rosh Hashanah. And I believe until Yom Kippur, but for sure I know it's still Rosh Hashanah. What is the shofar about? What is this silly ritual? God forbid I said silly. What is this ritual of standing to hear the shofar? 100 blows. If in the Reform movement, it's 30 blows. What is this 100, and in many cases, 101 blows? Metaphorically, the Satan is brought in front of the throne of judgment. And he starts developing his case and presenting his case against this person and that person and that person continuously. But by hearing the shofar, we cause, metaphorically speaking, the Satan to have his computer erased. Those testimonies from the walls of your home, from your own words that are in his file, from the sun, the moon, and the stars, those testimonies are forgotten, are erased. And you don't have to lose energy. So you don't have to do tshuva, God forbid. Just go to Rosh Hashanah and listen to the shofar. The mitzvah of hearing the shofar on Rosh Hashanah nation who knows the shofar. Going to the temple, going to the synagogue, and listening to the shofar does not erase the testimony. Knowing that the shofar is capable of erasing the testimony. An internal knowledge. When you hear the shofar, does it make you tremble? Does it make you shake? Are you in awe of this tool that Hashem has given to the Jewish nation? His nation of responsibility. During the month of Elul, the shofar is used to awaken the soul, my soul, your soul, to tshuva, to remind you of what you have done, to help you evaluate what you did wrong, what mistakes you made. And then you utilize the prayers of the Slichot, the prayers arranged in alphabetical sequence, Aleph, Bet, Gimel, Dalet, etc., in the order of the Aleph, Bet, and in the reverse order under the Aleph, Bet, and in two verses of the Aleph, Bet, so the first verse is Aleph, the second verse is Aleph, the third verse is Bet, the fourth verse is Bet, and so forth, and even triple verses of the Aleph Bet. Verse 1 is Aleph, verse 2 is Aleph, verse 3 is Aleph, verse 4 is Bet, verse 5 is Bet, verse 6 is Bet, and so forth. And the reverse order of the Aleph Bet, utilizing the order of the alphabet to cleanse yourself. How do we know that Slichot is cleansing? We have a simple tool called Gematria. The word Slichot is spelled the root of the word Slichot, because Slichot is plural, but the singular is Slach. Samech, Lamed, Chet. Samech, Lamed, Chet has a gematria of 98. Tzadi Chet, which is the same gematria, Tzach, that word means cleansing, cleaning, eliminating negativity, washing it away. The saying of Slichot is cleansing your soul, cleansing your actions. It's not tshuva, but it is a tool that we have to awaken us to what needs to be done, what needs to be acted upon by doing tshuva. Listen to those messages you're receiving when you're saying Slichot. What thought arises in your mind? Who did you think about? These are tools to let you cleanse, to awaken you to do tshuva for that action. Slichot uses the order of the alphabet, and it uses the shofar, and it uses the 13 attributes of mercy. We have a recording about the 13 attributes of mercy. Adonai, Adonai, Erachum v'chanun, Erech apayim, V'rav chesed v'emet, Notze chesed l'alafim, V'nose avon v'apesha. And I didn't say it right because I'm doing it from memory. And I didn't want to do it all properly because it shouldn't be said at night, only in the daytime. This is a class for teaching, and I should probably could get away from it. The word notzer has a large nun. Almost no sidurim has a large nun when it says, say, the 13 attributes of mercy. But the Midrash teaches us that after the golden calf, Moshe went back up and spoke with God. And it's described that Moshe speaks to God like a person speaks to his friend. And to paraphrase the Midrash and to paraphrase the conversation and bring it into modern discussion, modern perceptions, Moshe said to God, God, they made a mistake. They built the golden calf. Forgive them. Forgive me because I am them. And God says, no. Moshe, I'm going to kill them all and let you be the beginning of a new nation, starting with you. And Moshe says, no, God. If you're going to kill them, kill me too. Take me out of your book, because these are my people. And yes, I know they made a mistake, but forgive them. And God said no. And Moshe prayed, and Moshe spoke to God, and Moshe did the tshuva in this sense. And finally, he's asked the smart question. God, what can I do for you to forgive them? And God gave him the secret. When you say the 13 attributes of mercy, God promises to forgive you. What a useful tool. No matter what I do, all I have to do is say the 13 attributes of mercy. Do you think it's as simple as that? Now you begin to understand why Kabbalah and this wisdom has been held in secret and concealed for thousands of years. Because it truly is just that simple. You want to remove chaos? Do tshuva. You want to remove chaos from your world? Do tshuva. As part of tshuva, understand how the shofar interacts and affects your process of tshuva. Understand how the order of the Aleph-Bet and the doing of the prayers of Slichot affect your process of tshuva. And understand that when you say the 13 attributes of mercy with the consciousness of a specific mistake you've done, God forgives you. He doesn't forgive you if the person you hurt doesn't forgive you. But once you've reached the level of forgiveness at the level of the human, at the level of the consciousness of the other person, saying the 13 attributes with the consciousness, I'm saying this for this action, eliminates that action, erases it. It did not happen. Which is the better way to do things? Which is the easier way? Obviously, it's saying the 13 attributes of mercy. But just saying it, even with the consciousness that I've just taught you, that it erases the negativity. The stronger, better technique and tool is to do the spiritual work. Go back to the future. Do the meditation called tshuva. Return to that moment in time. And in that tshuva meditation, say the 13 attributes of mercy. And return to the now, totally cleansed. So that when Rosh Hashanah comes, there is no blockage in you that allows or forces Hashem to judge this person doesn't get all the energy. God forbid. This person gets something less than all the energy. This person didn't use the energy properly last year. So I will hedge my bet and not give him all of the energy that he could use, that he should use, that he wants, that I want to give him. This is the nature of the tools of tshuva, slichot, shofar, aleph bet, and the 13 attributes of mercy. And now I will open up the class to questions. Tomorrow night at 10 p.m. Pacific time, we will be reading from the Zohar. There is no Zohar during this week of Re'eh. So when that happens, my choice is to be reading from the prologue and the book of Genesis, the book of Bereshit. Because when we reach that point, we have a short period of time. We have a short week. Every year we have a short week at Bereshit because we're dealing with the holidays of Simchat Torah, of Hoshana Rabbah as part of Sukkot, Shmini Atzeret. All of these holidays come within the same week. And therefore, we don't have a full week to review the energy and the knowledge and the information available to us in the Zohar. So we use these weeks during Devarim to plunge ahead so that we can be prepared during that period. Next week, we will probably talk a little more about Rosh Chodesh Elul and about the beginning of the holidays. The 22 days, or outside of Israel, the 23 days of holiday, not plural. All 22 days are unified. They all are connected together. They all